This is southern Russia, and in a relatively small area between the Caspian Sea and the Caucasus Mountains, you'll find an extreme variety of climates and nature. This is Inland Visions. I'm Sean Thomas, and together we're going to discover the magic of Russia's Republic of Dagestan.
To help us get a basic understanding of what makes Dagestan so enticing, we will speak with Yuri Yarovenko. He is a biologist and a geographer who has dedicated his life to studying the region.
Yuri.
Hi.
Thanks for meeting us up here. Such a beautiful, beautiful environment, that's for sure. Let's get right into it. You've written books. You're a biologist. Right now, so many tourists are coming to Dagestan. What can they find here that they can't find anywhere else?
Tourism has been picking up here over the last 4 or 5 years. Our republic, Dagestan, is not like anywhere else. Its landscapes and habitats are unique. Lakes and waterfalls. It all attracts tourists. That's why so many people have been coming lately. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know what we're going to do about it.
With more tourists, though, that means more damage to the environment. Is that a concern for the people here in Dagestan, and what is being done to protect this landscape?
Certainly, tourism, especially the influx we've seen over the last couple of years, has an impact on the environment and biodiversity. Even here, as you can see, there's more traffic now. People need to be educated not to litter, to properly dispose of trash and not ruin the natural habitats. We need to preserve this beautiful and diverse nature we have in Dagestan. We need to build awareness. That's a concern, of course, but it's something for the government to decide. We have the tourism ministry, which is directly responsible for it. As a researcher and member of the Dagestan division of the Russian Geographical Society, I'm involved too. We try to contribute, to educate people, to reach out to them via media. And we try to explain the importance of our biodiversity and what has to be done to protect it.
There is amazing diversity here. It is just so beautiful. How was all of this created? And why here?
Dagestan is unique for the diversity of its landscapes. If you look at the map of the Caucasus, the width of the mountain range in Dagestan is 200 kilometers. That's why we have valleys, foothills, inner regions, which are very dry, and higher areas in the mountains of the Greater Caucasus. These diverse conditions have certain implications. Different plants and animals choose the habitats where they thrive, where they feel protected and have enough nutrients. Humans, too, are used to these mountains. When you look at our history, when snowfall in the mountains was heavier, people fled to Georgia, Azerbaijan, or Chechnya to wait out the harsh winters. It's not like that anymore. The climate has changed. There's less snow. It's warmer. New technology has made farming more efficient, so people don't have to leave. They love their mountains, love the climate and clean air. So they stay. All these factors combine to make our republic so unique. Apart from that, we're located in the very south of Russia. The southernmost point of the country is near the village of Kurush.
It is said by the people here that Dagestan is dangerously beautiful and that the nature here doesn't forgive mistakes. What do they mean by that?
What makes Dagestan dangerous is that people are unaware of the capricious nature of these mountains. They go and visit the Garadagh Gorge, for example, which can be flooded in a matter of minutes when it rains. It puts people in serious danger. Others are too cavalier on steep cliffs. They think they're immortal and don't think of the risk. I believe if you do it right, Dagestan is a great place to visit. Our people are very hospitable. The local nature is beautiful with many gorgeous lakes and waterfalls. There's a lot to see. Dagestan is a piece of heaven here in Russia.
Sheep. They're everywhere. In fact, I've heard that there might even be more sheep in Dagestan than people. Also, there are cows on the road. How is this part of the culture? Is it important to the economy? What do sheep provide for Dagestan?
Dagestan.
The word Dagestan means land of mountains, and in such a land, sheep breeding is number one for agriculture. According to data, there are more than 4.6 million sheep in Dagestan. We have this system where they spend the summers in the alpine meadows and come down to the steppe for the winter. This is made possible again by our unique landscape. The quality of our products is well known and recognized both in Russia and abroad. It's a major source of revenue for the Republic. On the other hand, sheep and other domesticated animals in the mountains are food for wild animals, predators, mostly wolves, bears, and leopards, which are rare. At the same time, sheep compete with wild hoofed animals for pasture, so there's a need to strike the right balance to make sure that both can thrive. Wild tourists and sheep are essential for our people here.
Diversity in geography must mean diversity in biology as well. As a biologist, can you tell me what sort of animals that we can find here that we can't find anywhere else, or what makes this place unique?
Yes, this region is unique. Being in the very south of Russia, it gets really warm. You felt that, right? Further down south, close to Derbent, it can get very hot. That's why we have some species that don't live anywhere else in Russia. They include the Levant viper, a large and highly venomous snake, some small lizard species, and the Greek tortoise. There are many birds, of course, a great variety of them, like the blue rock thrush, the woodchat shrike, the rufous-tailed scrub robin, and many others that you won't find anywhere else in Russia, because there are no other suitable habitats for them. The most fearsome species is the Caucasian leopard. Unfortunately, poaching still exists, and it's hard to combat. Still, the leopard does survive. There's even a program now for releasing leopards into the wild somewhere here in the Caucasus. As someone who has researched this issue for years, I can argue that Dagestan still has its own extant population. However small, it still reproduces itself.
So, as we were driving through the mountains, something that seems unique to Dagestan are these terraces. But they were created thousands of years ago with ancient technology, yet they still stay intact. How are they created and why?
Dagestan's perennial problem is that the mountains offer little space for agriculture, for planting barley, corn, rye, and so on. That's why people have made those terraces, using only manual labor. They reinforced the slopes to prevent erosion due to heavy rain, and used them for farming. Lately, the arrival of new technology and equipment makes farming more efficient, and those terraces have been neglected. They survive as a monument to terrace farming, a reminder of past agricultural practices. There are many studies about this phenomenon. Maybe people will use them again someday. Who knows?
So I know that you've been studying this your entire life, specifically Dagestan. You're a biologist, you've written books, as we've mentioned. What makes this place so interesting for you personally? What is in the soul of Dagestan for you?
I was born here. I grew up here. Everything in my life is connected to Dagestan. I became passionate about biology, and Dagestan is, essentially, a unique biological lab. It has high mountains, valleys, lowland forests, steppes, deserts, and a great diversity of landscapes and animals which inhabit them.
One of the most fascinating things about traveling through Dagestan is the ever-changing climate. You just don't know what you're going to see around the next mountain or hill. And it's all just so beautiful and interesting. Sulak Canyon, the crown jewel of Dagestan. Ildar Husainov is a geographer and officially one of the best teachers in Russia. We asked him to help us uncover some of the secrets of this place. Ildar? Thanks for meeting me here. I think that we're the luckiest people to have this view and have this conversation. So you're a teacher, you're a geographer. This is Sulak Canyon. A lot of people know about Grand Canyon, but not too many people know about this place. Also, the heart of Dagestan, they say that this is it. So what makes this place so unique?
We're in one of the most popular and most visited places in Dagestan, and rightfully considered to be the symbol of Dagestan. The Sular Canyon is unique for many reasons. First, for its size and depth. It's often compared to the Grand Canyon. When you measure depth, it's important to understand what you take as your benchmark. The Sular Canyon consists of three parts. Number one is the so-called Main Canyon, the deepest one. Its depth is about 2,000 meters. This is the deepest point of the Sular Canyon because these ranges are very high. Right now we're standing on a middle platform. The canyon's relative depth here is about 700 meters. Another thing that makes the Sular Canyon unique is its structure. The Sular itself is a very ancient river. So how did this canyon emerge? When the river first appeared, there weren't any mountains around here. The area was flatter more than 10 million years ago. Since then, an active mountain formation has taken place. As the terrain got higher, the river cut a deeper path, thanks to bottom erosion, and that's how the canyon was formed over millions of years.
It's my understanding that earthquakes are happening here all of the time. So does that mean that this particular canyon is always changing, always growing, even getting deeper?
Yes, indeed. This area is classified as a high seismic hazard territory, as is most of Dagestan. The canyon is still changing and growing as a result of geological processes. The river, at the same time, continues to deepen its bed, so the depth of the canyon is growing. In geology, nothing is static, like in a photo. It's more like a video, an ongoing process. The changes are microscopic, though, so we can't see them. Landslide processes also take their toll. In canyons, there's always the danger of rock formations being unstable, which cause landslides. This is why the canyon grows deeper and wider. Earthquakes happen every day here, since this is a high seismic hazard territory, just like most of Dagestan. The magnitude, though, is quite low, at 1 to 1.5 points, which humans can't feel. One of the strongest earthquakes ever to happen here was in May 1970. Its results can be seen on one of the banks of the Chirke water reservoir. The earthquake was followed by a major landslide.
It seems to me that we have a sort of geological museum here, because you can see the layers of the canyon, and that goes back, as you said earlier, tens of millions of years. So what kind of secrets can we find? What does this canyon tell us about the history of the Earth?
What makes canyons so special and beautiful is their steep slopes, where you can trace volcanic ages. Since this territory used to be at the bottom of the world's ocean for a long time, before the mountain-forming processes began, we mostly see Cenozoic-era sedimentary rocks. Over tens of millions of years, while this land was at the bottom of the ocean, rocks layered over each other to form this sort of cake effect. Speaking of their age, the top layers, 5 to 800 meters, are Cenozoic, Paleogene-Neogene, and the Quaternary period. If we go deeper in this spot, we can trace Mesozoic and Cretaceous rock layers.
Ildar, it's stunningly beautiful from up here, but do you want to go down and take a look from the waterside? So, Ildar, locals say that you can actually drink this water here. So why is it so clean? Why is it so clear? Are there any health benefits to this water?
The secret behind this water is the fact that along the river Sulak and those that flow into the Sulak, there are several hydroelectric power plants. The dams slow down their flow. As they slow, the particles in the water settle, so the water color becomes brighter as it gets less muddy. This is how the clarity of water is achieved, mostly.
Now, you just mentioned the hydroelectric power stations. This water is actually a mighty, mighty force, providing power to much of Dagestan. Talk to me a little bit about that and how much power is actually coming from this river.
Indeed, when you look at the river from the mountains, it looks like a tiny blue ribbon, and it's hard to believe that it's got huge power-generating potential. But it's true that the Sulak is one of the most powerful rivers in the North Caucasus, particularly in terms of generating energy. This is why we have a series of power plants on the Sulak, and the Chirkay hydroelectric power plant is among the most powerful. Its capacity is 1,000 megawatts, or 1 million kilowatts. The Sulak has huge potential, which is exactly why we have so many power plants built on it.
So, this water is a unique color, and people around here say that the water changes color as the day moves. What gives it this unique quality?
I already talked a bit about how water here gets its clear blue color, almost turquoise. But another factor at play here is the change in natural lighting. As that changes, depending on the depth of the water, you can see different color effects, dozens of them. It all depends on the weather and the depth of the water you're looking at. You'll see one color on a bright sunny day, like now, and a completely different color at sunset. So it depends on both the weather and the time of day.
Now, you're a teacher. In fact, you are officially recognized as one of the best teachers in Russia, so congratulations on that. But what I'm interested in is, what do you tell your pupils about this area and even about Dagestan in general? What is important for them to know?
Thank you very much. It's true that I love my job. I enjoy working with children, and this place in particular, this canyon, is the best spot, the kids say. I often bring them here, as I believe it's important to give children real experience when you're teaching things like geography, to help them see the things you're talking about. Here they can see the power generating capacity of the river and the dam, for example. They can also see the rock layers of different geological periods. So I make it a point to show the kids the things that I'm talking about in class.
And for you personally, not about students, what do you like most? What brings you joy about Dagestan?
Dagestan is part of my soul and my identity. And what I like about it is its diversity. All sorts of different people with different preferences can find a place here they love. It can be on the Caspian beaches or somewhere deep in the mountains. Anyone can find a cool spot for themselves here. And that's what I love about it.
Incredibly interesting conversation. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And of course, another microclimate, a sand dune desert. It certainly looks out of place here. Barkhan Sari Kum, a real mystery surrounded by the mountains of Dagestan. Zaripat Magomedova works at the Special Nature Reserve here.
Zaripat, thank you very much for meeting me out here. I'm a bona fide dune goon, so this is a great experience for me. So let's get right into it. Sari Kum is known as one of the eighth wonders of the world. So there has to be some legends as to why this place was created or how it was created. Can you tell me some of them?
Hello and welcome to Sari Kum. You're right. In the old times, people would often come up with some story or legend to explain things they found hard to understand, like how some peculiar terrain changed. So people came up with quite a lot of stories about this place, but I personally prefer the most romantic one. It's a legend about an unhappy love. A man called Ibrahim lived in a local village not far from here with his beautiful daughter, Bariat. Many young men wanted to marry her, but she loved Bulat. Her father, however, refused Bulat's proposal and wanted to test his love first. He told him to build a sand mountain so tall that Ibrahim's house would be visible from the top. So Bulat started bringing piles of sand to prove his love for Bariat. When he finally finished and went to see Ibrahim, he found a very old woman there. It was his love, Bariat. He himself had turned into an old man while working. It took him so many years to complete it. Well, that's the legend, but it tells us that things like this can also happen in life that are both sad and romantic.
So those are the legends. Talk to me about factually, how did this get here? How was it created?
Scientists believe that Sarikum itself was formed on ancient marine terraces, wave-cut surfaces covered with sand. The sands were carried here from the foremost ranges of the Caucasus Mountains, which collapsed thousands of years ago. That's the scientific explanation.
So we know how it was created. How old is this place?
Scientific research indicates that the current aeolian landforms we observe date back 5,000 years, while the sand itself is about 100,000 years old.
It is considered one of the highest and tallest standalone dunes in the world. Is that true? And can you give me an idea of the size and scope of this dune?
The relative height of Sarikum from the base to the top is 150 meters. The height above sea level is 244 to 246 meters, according to data from the Dagestan Nature Reserve. In terms of area, it is 3 kilometers wide and 4 kilometers long. Mm-hmm. That's the measurements of Sarikum now. Although the total area of the sand massif, the Sarikum Barkens, is 576 hectares. It is part of the Dagestan Nature Reserve, which is a protected area.
And I feel there are strong winds here, and sand moves with the winds. Does this dune change over time? And if so, how? And also, it's kind of a miracle to me that it stays in one place. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Present-day Sarikum is shaped by winds blowing continuously along the Caucasus Mountains. Whatever the southwest wind brings, the northwest wind carries away. There is a sort of struggle between the two, which ultimately produces the sand ridges and pits. Perhaps this is the secret behind the Sarikum dune, constantly blowing winds shaping the landscape. The sand one wind brings with it, another carries away.
Being here, you feel that it is its own climate, really like a desert. The temperatures, I understand, can get up to 60 degrees Celsius. Why is it that this place has its very own microclimate?
We have a microclimate here because there are mountains on one side and steppes on the other, forming a distinct microclimate. The temperature of the sand reaches 30 degrees centigrade as early as mid-spring and can exceed 60 degrees centigrade in the hottest summer months. We've had reports of sand temperatures rising to 80 degrees centigrade even. That's the climate we have here.
If this is a real desert climate, does that mean that there are snakes and scorpions and maybe scary animals that I need to be worried about?
Indeed, the plant life of the nature reserve in Sarikum sand dune is very diverse and rich. Wildlife includes many species of scorpions, camel spiders, various colubrine snakes, for example, the blotch snake and the Transcaucasian rat snake. There's a great diversity of snake species. It's the only nature reserve in Russia where a relatively small area is inhabited by 21 reptile and amphibian species. The Mediterranean tortoise is among them, a very rare animal. In order to preserve this diversity and the natural environment of Sarikum, and at the same time to let visitors enjoy the beauty of this place, we are creating eco trails here. You've probably seen this broad walkway paved in expanded metal mesh. The mesh is mounted on a pile foundation. In fact, all the constructions in the nature reserve are built on piles. There are no permanent structures. And I think unless you step down from the trail and test your luck, you won't encounter any dangerous creatures either. But from the walkway, you can safely watch lizards of various colors, and on the dune top, there's a remarkable toad-headed agama. It's a very interesting and beautiful lizard, the symbol of the Sarikum Reserve. You can enjoy all this safely from the trail without risking your health or damaging the natural environment of this place.
Now, we know in the past couple of years, tourism has increased significantly. That has its pluses and it has its minuses. Are you concerned about protecting this natural wonder and the ecology of this place? And if so, what's being done to protect it?
As I already mentioned, we're trying to minimize damage to the nature reserve by making trails and walking routes for visitors in order to avoid having people roaming Sarikum wherever they like. Walking off the official routes is not allowed, and that's simply to protect the wildlife. The number of visitors has significantly grown compared to 2019. That year, we had 10, almost 11,000 visitors. In 2018, we had 25,000 visitors, and last year, we had 220,000 tourists here. That's a large number for us. It's a unique habitat, and we're doing our best to preserve it for future generations.
Zaripad, thank you very much for an interesting conversation and even more for sharing this beautiful place with us.
Having meticulously made our way through the many personalities that make up the natural wonder that is Dagestan, it is impossible not to reflect on our experience with anything but awe and wonderment, and perhaps a hint of disbelief. The mountains, the rivers, the ever-changing climate, the flatlands and desert sand dunes, the people we met along the way, all of this is Dagestan. And I count myself to be incredibly lucky to share it with you. So where should we go next?